If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox show. We are in the heart of summer. It is episode number 306 for July 26th, 2017. Ryan McCaffrey joined by Alana Pierce. Welcome back.
Thank you. I know.
Marty Sliva, we'll get to more of you and what you've been up to here in a second. But first, coming up on this week's show, an interesting hodgepodge. Points for that word. You almost spit your drink. I like that.
I did, yeah.
Of Xbox news this week. We've got a little update from Phil Spencer on Xbox One X pre-orders. I know everybody's really anxious to find out when they can put down their money. A new Xbox bundle has been announced. We've got a new writer being added to the Crackdown team. On a good excuse to talk a little Crackdown, as well as Capcom doing a character redesign on Chun-Li and some other Capcom characters in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, and Final Fantasy 15 getting a multiplayer mode and some news on when you can play that. So with that in mind, Marty, you're shot out of a cannon there.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy news.
I like Final Fantasy. Yeah.
I wanted to start with just again mentioning the IGN show on Disney XD, which you are one of the hosts of, and that's why you haven't been able to be with us.
I know. People keep tweeting at me about it, and someone tweeted me and was like, "Why aren't you on Unlocked?" I'm like, "I don't have time." And they were like, "You sound really angry." I was like, "Yeah, I'm angry that I don't have time. Like, I'm legitimately angry that I can't be on the show. Totally not my call. It's just been crazy production working on the show that we're actually really proud of. It airs on Disney XD, and I said this on Beyond, but people seem to be confused about what the show is exactly. Someone thought it was a Disney podcast. It's not. It's like X-Play.
We should probably do that, though.
A Disney podcast?
Disney podcast.
That'd be pretty cool.
Why not?
But yeah, it's like a variety show. We talk about Overwatch. We've been going to lots of conventions, doing like pieces at the conventions. I've done two separate like cosplay sort of documentary-style videos. And it's a ton of fun. It's basically just bringing video games back to TV the way they used to be on G4.
And yeah, this week's episodes, you have some Comic-Con stuff on there, right?
From
last week?
Yeah, I think we spoke about Shadow of War actually a bunch as well. That was at the Xbox booth at Comic-Con. And I did my McCree cosplay from Overwatch, which I've been planning to do for a really long time. So yeah, those will be up Thursday and Friday this week.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good to see that. One other quick note, just sort of semi-relevant to Xbox fans. Sadly, I don't have like the David Letterman, like the physical copy that I can hold up and show you like a good host right now. They sent it to me digitally, but Marty O'Donnell, the composer, of course, of all the Bungie Halo games. In my opinion, there is no composer more talented in the video game industry than Marty O'Donnell. He has got a thank you. Background music. I like that.
I was just hearing
we don't even need to put it in post. It's fine.
Stop it. You know what I miss? Alana not being on the show.
Anyway, Marty O'Donnell has a new music album. It's a prequel album to his new studio, Highwire Games. They have a new game. It's for PSVR, so this isn't technically Xbox news, but whatever. Every Xbox fan loves Marty O'Donnell. The album is called Echoes of the First Dreamer. I have the digital copy that I'm very eager to listen to, but just wanted to mention it because if you're a Marty fan, it's Marty's first I think, published music in a while.
Marty, congrats.
Oh, I thought you said if you're a Marty fan.
No, the good Marty.
Oh, God. I mean, he's not wrong. Do we know when Gollum's coming out? That's not a 2017 game. Shut up, Alana.
Trying to get like subtle background music right now.
More subtle. There you go. That's better. Yeah. No, they have not put a date on it yet.
Probably not this year.
We did the IGN first on that over a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, we really got, that was some serious early access we got to the game. But yeah, it's a, they're aiming to have it be a kind of a quote unquote real game in VR, like with actual narrative and longer than like a 15-minute sort of bite sized experience. Cool. And, yeah, I take it they're just kind of plugging away at it. And I would have presumed, since I don't think there was anything on it at E3 this year.
I think so.
Maybe it was in the like the sizzle reel.
Possibly.
For 2 seconds. I'm not sure, but hopefully PSX will see more.
That'd be cool.
On that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to it. It is Xbox news time. Let's start with the Xbox One X. That is what is top of mind for many Xbox fans. Phil Spencer saying that the pre-orders are sooner rather than later without giving a specific date. He said on Twitter, quote, "Our plan is set for this. All approvals are now done." He's referring to the FCC approval hang-up that kept them from taking pre-orders in the first place. "All approvals are done, so now just landing the announce with all the info won't be too much longer." Sounds to me
exciting.
Yeah, tell me if you guys disagree. I mean, he could mean next week. I think it's probably going to be, we're going to be looking at Gamescom for this.
Yeah.
Maybe like a week before to kind of then they get some kind of momentum.
I feel like if this was next week, he wouldn't have said anything and they would have just dropped the announcements.
That's a good point.
And I mean, traditionally, they've done conferences at Gamescom in the past. Like they did a conference where they announced the Rise of the Tomb Raider timed exclusivity. So it's definitely, you know, not unheard of. Maybe they go on, although I don't think they'd like go on stage in Germany and be like, they're available now. And then everyone in the US is just asleep.
Also a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know how Phil works.
Yeah,
Phil probably knows. I mean, I feel like that's in his purview. Yeah.
Yeah, this is exciting. It's something people really want to be able to do. It's something that I kind of want sooner rather than later. So I hope we get it in the next few weeks, you know, but anytime should be good.
Do you think that there is going to be sort of a shortage of Xbox One X's
this fall? I think that Microsoft has historically been pretty good about that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right?
Like, I have a bit of the cynical take on this. I'm glad you brought
purpose,
it up.
Like a purposeful
shortage. I'm 100% going to get so much hate for this, but whatever. I get a lot of hate for the show as it is. I think there will be a shortage regardless, whether it's an actual shortage. Like, hey, it's got, you know, it's some bleeding edge console tech with the vape cooling and all that neat stuff in it.
Or a marketing shortage.
I also think it's very possible they might limit it, because I mean, to be fair, Phil did say, you know, it's not gonna, the S is gonna outsell this by a huge factor. I would imagine that they'll want to be able to say, we sold everyone we made. I bet they don't make a ton of them for this quarter, but either on purpose or just by actual manufacturing.
I mean, also, again, given but how
I do feel like Microsoft are usually pretty good about this kind of thing, though. I feel like, you know, I can't think of a time that I've wanted to buy something Xbox related and not been able to. Whereas for both of the others, I've felt that way.
360s were tough to get that first fall.
Very. It took.
I remember having to wait in line initially for it at launch.
No, I think I still got one super easily. I don't know.
At launch?
I was also in it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, my family bought me one for Christmas. So yeah. I was like, I feel like it was.
No, it was in the US. I don't know why I remember this so vividly, but
obviously
it was,
regions make a huge difference.
Yeah. It was. It took till February for them to really.
Yeah.
It was those first 2-3 months.
Yeah.
We're pretty.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Nintendo's the worst/best at this in terms of, like, it's still like we're just now getting to the point where you can walk into a store and get a Switch. Like,
I mean, even
really question marks. Because I've been looking for one for my nephews. I think some people were saying
that they're in Best Buy and Target.
All right.
For a Switch.
I'll have to take a look at the show again. But
crazy.
No, I just hope that everybody that wants to get an Xbox One X can get one. I mean, and that's the ideal tipping point of manufacturing, right? If you're Microsoft, you don't want to have piles of them like U-draws on a shelf.
God.
Yeah.
But you also don't want an NES Classic situation either, where you have Pitchfork and Torch.
Sure, you don't want someone being like, I have $500 in cash. I would like to give it to you. Where is my system?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. And don't have too many scalpers like completely destroying the market for
that
it.
Too.
But I mean, this year we've also had a bunch of, I think mostly with Nintendo, unfortunate pre-order situations with people having their pre-orders canceled and just That's the one thing that I think is the worst thing that can happen in this situation is that you,
you think you
allocate and then there's too many people pre-order and they have to cancel them and people aren't getting them. Like, I really hope that that is not a thing that happens. It's been a weird year for that.
What's astounding to me, welcome to NVC, there is zero indication that Nintendo has either learned anything or just adjusted their strategy for the Super NES Classic.
Yeah.
Like the Walmart, who now claims they accidentally put up those pre-orders.
Awesome intern accidentally hit a button.
And it crashed their website, and there's just no word on those at all. Thanks, Nintendo.
Well, don't do that, Phil.
Don't do that, Microsoft. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be curious to see how many X's are available this fall. Speaking of Microsoft consoles, but ones you'll probably be able to find a little more easily. Microsoft announced a new Madden NFL bundle. They've had these pretty much every year for the last, I think, pretty much this whole console generation. The Madden 18 bundle will come, of course, with an Xbox One S. That's the 500 gigabyte variant, as well as the standard copy of Madden 18, a 2-week Xbox Live Gold trial, a 20% discount code for NFLshop.com, so you can go give the NFL more of your money, and a 1-month subscription for Xbox Game Pass.
That's awesome.
Nice. I bet you we're going to see a 1-month Game Pass trial in
just sort of in every bundle.
Every bundle.
I remember when I first got the 360 and before I got Xbox Live, of all the games that I had, like tons of them were coming with 2-week or 3-day trials for Xbox Live, and I managed to get enough to last almost 6 months without actually having to buy it. Yeah, I just had so many of them that I just kept putting in, and it just kept stacking up. It's like, this is great.
And that's how you sell someone on the service. And eventually they're like, oh, well, it's up, but
now I can't live without it.
That's exactly what happened. It's like, now I don't have it. I'm like, oh, I definitely need to start paying for it. Totally. And you know how on Xbox Live you have that number that's the amount of years that you've had Xbox Live? I'm terrified of letting that lapse. Like, I don't...
You don't want to lose it.
No, now I'm like, oh, I have this like emblem now that I have to refresh this constantly. Like, I can't lose that. I don't know what my number is. I should check. It's very,
I've got that. Whatever. Mine goes all the way back.
Yeah, mine doesn't go back.
Yeah, whatever it was.
It's like, I can't ever lose this.
Yeah.
Got to keep it.
Yeah.
What other, speaking of bundles, what other games do you think there'll be sort of these bundles for this fall? Shadow of War, probably.
Assassin's Creed.
Good. Probably a Crackdown bundle.
Speaking of Xbox One X's, weird thing at Comic-Con when we played Shadow of War, they had Xbox One X's in the cases, but I asked if it was actually running on Xbox One X, and they said, no, it's running on PC, which seems very odd when they were displaying Xbox One X's, but playing on PC.
Yeah, and it was at the Microsoft booth.
Yeah.
Like, I know when you played Assassin's Creed Origins,
that was
running off of an,
Xbox dev kit. Yep, totally. Definitely on PC.
And then they had that... did we put up photos of the broken?
No, because apparently that was also at E3, which I totally missed at E3. They had the Xbox One X in this like really lit glass case,
It
was and it was sort of dissected, like the bodies exhibit, or like that scene in Hannibal where he kills that dude and then just spreads them out over the course of like all these things. But it was really cool to see. It was like over the it was like 5 feet long and just seeing like every single layer,
every single part of it.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That should absolutely be an installation in a San Francisco museum
to see what every console. Yeah. Like, I would love to.
I would go to that.
Yeah. Like what an NES looks like all the way through now. Yeah. Totally.
That is super cool. Hey, we're back to Nintendo again.
I mean, what a Sega Genesis looks like.
To actually answer the question of bundles, Shadow of War makes sense. Yeah. I feel like it will largely be third parties. Like Assassin's Creed, they've done that before. Like that's a thing that makes sense.
Well, see a Forza bundle, a Crackdown bundle.
Forza maybe. Sure.
I don't know.
They did a Horizon bundle, but I don't know if they did Motorsport. I'm sure they
six
did,
or five.
And I'm just not remembering.
I feel like they have.
Because there have been a lot of bundles this generation. Yeah.
But there's also, I guess, there's some retailers do their own bundles, so it's separate.
That's true.
Sure. Yeah. So it's hard to know which one's official.
I feel like that has been a thing.
Yeah, we know there won't be a Destiny 2 bundle.
Yeah.
There won't be a Call of Duty bundle.
Yeah.
There won't be a Battlefront 2 bundle.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do is really rule some out.
Yeah.
Everything else is pretty much on the table.
Yeah.
All right. I guess the one other note I wanted to make there, it's like, you know, if you are interested in the Madden bundle, cool, buy it. But the thing I would counsel at this point, I know it's only July still, but remember that in 3 months' time, there will be way better deals than this. Not that, again, it's not a bad deal. You're getting, you know, it's it's $280. So you're getting, effectively paying $30 for Madden and the discount code for NFL Shop and a 2-week gold trial. So, you know, you're getting some value there, but
But remember, come Black Friday and the holiday shopping season.
I think that Black Friday is only a U.S. thing. So I feel like the people in international markets, that won't be as much of a thing.
Well, it was also
Cyber
Monday.
It's definitely holiday.
Like Cyber Monday is universal.
One internet.
I mean, I had never heard of it before moving here.
I mean, you could still buy the stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, shipping. No, you know, we don't use Amazon in Australia at all because it costs you $80 to ship something.
What if you should get Amazon Prime?
It's not how that works. I'm just trying to be inclusive. Consider that there will be deals around the holiday that may not be related to the U.S.
Who did it?
And now we are financial advisors. Excellent.
Yeah, don't ever take
don't ever ask
from us.
Yes, it's terrible.
We're the worst people you could possibly.
I keep my cash in a boot. I have a boot under my bed.
You actually?
No, I don't.
I was like, oh,
my box springs on my floor.
Yeah, that checks out.
Oh my goodness!
Is it yours?
No.
Oh.
former Halo and Destiny writer by the name of John Goff has been brought on to help on the writing duties for Crackdown 3. So they had a little panel at San Diego Comic-Con, and then Mr. Goff spoke with Paste Magazine afterward and talked a little bit about it. He said, quote, "With Crackdown, I wouldn't say it's like working on comics and games like Destiny and stuff I've done with Halo, because I've done a lot of work with heroes and building the world through the hero's eyes. The fun thing we're getting to do with Crackdown here, though we still have the hero and the agents, I'm getting to spend a lot of time with the villains. We're building this cadre of villains that are the enemies you love to hate." And he says, "Some people take Saturday morning cartoon as derogatory, and sort of in reference to Crackdown's visuals and its sort of general demeanor. I don't," Goff said. "I think it's a gold standard. Those things have character that were incredibly memorable in the middle of some fairly forgettable entertainment. We're trying to make memorable entertainment with memorable villains."
I'm very happy to hear that. Like, that's
definitely
one of the most meaty quotes that I've actually heard about the characters in the story, and I think that's great.
Yeah, a couple things. I thought Joseph Staten was writing.
That was literally the first thing I thought of before I turned the page. I was like, well, what's he doing?
You can have more than one writer.
Because wasn't he on Crackdown?
ReCore.
Oh, he was on ReCore, and then he was on Scalebound, I think, at one point.
I believe you're
then on to this.
But because for all of the issues with ReCore, it was a well-written game. I liked the writing in that game.
Yeah, it was the production values were, you know, left a little something to be desired. I mean, technically, Joe is he's like the overall writer he oversees all the narrative for Microsoft Game Studios. Mm-hmm. Although strangely, we haven't seen him connected to Halo at all yet since he joined. I wonder if they really should call him for Halo 6. Like,
hey, you got to know
Halo 5. Like, maybe we should call Joe.
Yeah.
He seems to know what to do. But I confess.
Doesn't this seem like a weird time to bring a new writer onto a game?
Yeah, because this you don't know how long he's been here.
Exactly.
This is like the announcement. It was at their panel at Comic-Con.
It's kind of like, what can we talk about it?
Yeah.
At Comic-Con, which is like creative people.
Yeah.
How about the writer of the game?
They had him. They had Terry Crews on the panel. And so that's sort of what they focused on. Not a whole lot of new gameplay. Like, they were on our live show and it was sort of the same thing that we saw at E3, still single player.
I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here. I'm a little worried about this game just in the sense of...
Is it coming out?
Call it a spidey sense from 15 years of covering video games that, you know, it got a lukewarm reception at E3 from us included. Like, again, it plays fun, but it's clearly technically lacking, and multiplayer was MIA, and Phil's excuse for that. No offense, Phil. I didn't think it really passed too much muster. He's like, well, we showed that 2 years ago.
That wasn't a real thing 2 years ago.
Yeah, so, I mean... You know, you've got they have intentionally aligned this video game with the launch of their super powerful new console. It doesn't pass the eye test at this point, as far as the straight visual eye popping graphics and the whole technical innovation of the game, the
cloud.
Multiplayer cloud based destruction has not been seen or heard from in 2 years. So I really hope they show that at Gamescom, because if they don't, I'm going to start to wonder if this video game is coming out in 2017 or has been scaled, bound down. No, that was, don't applaud that.
I clapped.
No, I will start to wonder if it's either been just scaled way back from its original vision.
In terms of tech,
or delayed.
I'm expecting it to just have a huge open world, and that's how they'll, you know. I don't really care about multiplayer in Crackdown. Like, I'm going to like this game no matter what.
But I mean, that's Neither do I.
I understand what you're saying.
But that was like the core pillar of their game when they revealed it. Yeah. So is that still there?
You can trash the whole city with your friends. Like, yeah. That sounds pretty fun. Like, yeah. I want to check that out.
Yeah. I mean, most falls we have a handful of games that get delayed. Like, we famously had Tomb Raider the other year that didn't come out that fall, as we all remember. Remember? Rise of the Tomb Raider definitely didn't come out that fall. But no, most years a couple games slip. We already had, not on Xbox, but Ni No Kuni slipped from November to January.
Red Dead.
Smart move on their part.
Yeah, Red Dead slipped. I mean,
technically, Shadow of War slipped from earlier
August.
In the
Yeah. Didn't Ni No Kuni, the original one, didn't that ship in like a January or February?
Yeah, that was an early year game. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like
and so I'm fully expecting something else big to move. It could be Crackdown. I still think something on October 27th is going to move, either Mario or Wolfenstein or Assassins.
Yeah. It's a big day.
It's not going to be Assassin. Like, Ubisoft is going to.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it would be Wolfenstein either.
The ones that probably should move.
Who's more stubborn? Ubisoft, Nazis, or Mario?
In real life?
Nazis? Or- yeah, it's the Nazis.
Nazis are the most stubborn?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm like a little bit concerned that you had to ask, but.
Yeah, but. I mean,
Mario seems
Mario's
like a stubborn dude.
Yeah, he's
welcome
got
back
that hat.
To NPC.
He's got the hat.
All games are competition to each other on some level because, consumers only have so much money, but I feel like Mario is not really going to affect.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think Mario
the other game,
fine.
Wolfenstein or Assassin's.
Well, also, I can see people picking between Wolfenstein or Assassin's.
But also, those three games are like apples, oranges, and a baseball. It's like, all right, you're all sort of different. You're all fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's baseball. Yeah,
yeah. You're saying Mario is better.
Yeah,
is what you're
yeah,
that's what.
Oh, we decided Mario was baseball. Yeah, that.
Well, Marty did.
I didn't. I mean, not necessarily. Yeah. I guess the baseball would be Mario because it's so different. Yeah. Whereas the other two, what's the Nazi fruit? Apples or oranges?
Wait, you didn't think. The baseball was Mario.
Wolfenstein isn't pro-Nazi though, so don't call it a Nazi fruit. Like, what's the anti-Nazi fruit?
Peace and hope and tranquility.
That sounds like a grape. A grape.
Grapes. Yeah.
Yep. I'm glad we got to the bottom of this. Which video game is which fruit? Join us next time on Fruitcast Unlocked.
Yeah. Anyway, so
we'll discuss.
I don't know. Do you guys think is Crackdown going to ship on November 7th like they said it's going to?
I don't know.
No.
I think your concern is valid.
Yeah.
You don't think it is?
I do.
You do think it is.
Yes, okay. But I'm not like totally sold on this. And, you said that it got a lukewarm reception in E3. It's funny because one of the people who was most excited about it in this office was Kirsten, who is probably the only person in this office who doesn't really play video games. And she was like, I thought that trailer was amazing because she wants like the Terry Crews hype.
Yes.
Like, she was like sold. She was like, I would play this game. Yeah. Like, she loved it so much.
I feel
much.
Like that is such a smart thing. It's almost like aligning your game with The Rock where it's like, you're going to find a new audience that doesn't really care too much.
I also think that Crackdown is the kind of game that people who don't generally play games will enjoy. And I've said this before, but I love Prototype. Like, I love those games. I love free running and just destroying a city, so I'm like 100% going to play Crackdown, and I'm super stoked about it, and I think a lot of people who don't know anything about it will enjoy it as well. Mm-hmm. And maybe it coming out this year is not a good idea for it either. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe history will repeat itself. It'll get delayed till like February, and then it'll have Halo 6 beta access.
There you go.
We'll just be like, we got it a time machine and went back 10 years.
What's old is new.
All right, so we'll see what happens there. As usual, I'm probably making something out of nothing. But if it does happen to get delayed, time code, just time stamp it.
You all have to buy us In-N-Out. Everyone who's listening.
That's so much In-N-Out.
That's
okay.
We could just fill. Yep. Oh, yeah, we should fill the table.
We replace the table with
It'd
buggers.
Be a table of In-N-Out burgers.
I feel like we should spread those out over time. I don't feel like we're going to eat an entire table of In-N-Out burgers.
No, we're going to like put them here and then like laminate them so it's permanent.
Oh, it's going to be it's going to. You remember the last time
we had, so it doesn't
remember the last time we had food on the show and you got chalk all over the studio and you left a knife here?
Yeah.
I mean, an email saying who left the knife in the studio and everyone was like, those Americans. And
I wasn't going to own up to it, but then I was like, hey, you guys seen Crocodile Dundee? That was me. Bad.
I could see that though. We could just, if we created a table surface of In-N-Out burgers, how many could we get through in one show?
I feel like you could get through 50%.
Yeah.
And then we add in Destin. Well, Destin and I eat on diets, so we'll eat two each. And then the rest is, Finnegan's back there.
Yeah, he could.
I feel like Sean could eat a lot of burgers.
Chow down.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're good.
All right. We got a plan. Let's make it happen.
Please? We can't make it happen because they have to buy us the book.
It's fine. Nobody should get us anything. We are here to serve, not be served.
We do accept gifts, though. 625 Second Street.
Stop it, Marty.
Thank you.
Pair of unlocked.
9-4-1-0-7.
Okay. I genuinely need help with this because I don't understand where this all came from, and I'm hoping you guys can help. So Capcom at Comic-Con. Capcom-Con. Yeah, we got it.
Capcomicoms.
They came out and said that they are redesigning Chun-Li as well as some other Capcom characters in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. And so here's the statement from Yoshinori Ono, the series boss, if it were. He says, the development team is hard at work finishing the game for the September 19th release date. And based off the feedback we heard, we are currently making improvements to Chun-Li as well as other Capcom characters. Since the work is still in progress, we don't have anything final to show you just yet, but stay tuned. So this is sort of the latest chapter in what I have casually observed as the community, which loves this series, has adored. This is one of the most beloved fighting game series to date, period.
Capcom presents Marvel Comics.
But there's something went wrong since between the time Infinite was announced and now. The community really seems to, it's maybe too strong a way to phrase it, but almost kind of turned on this game. Like it's there's
the
really
X-Men,
a lot
dude.
Of
it is X-Men. That is what went wrong.
Tell me, please. Yeah.
So, I mean, the most beloved characters in Marvel vs. Capcom, especially in the fighting game scene, have always been the core X-Men characters who've been in there. And then this game, basically, the three first announcement trailers we had didn't have any. Like, that is...
There still aren't. The launch roster is almost complete. And, yeah, no Wolverine. No character that is not owned by Disney proper.
Wow.
Has been seen at any point. Right. So that's the problem.
Thank you. That helps me understand. And I could see where longtime serious fans would be upset that they're not in there, especially when it's just politics. Right?
Yeah.
Or money.
Like, so there's that. And then there's also a lot of competitive fighters. Like we ran a piece on this. The game doesn't really know who it's for yet. Like, it's not being like, hey, if you've been with the series this whole time, we have developed this incredibly deep professional fighting game for you guys.
Yeah.
But it's also not the, hey, just pick up and play and have fun game for, like, casual people like me who doesn't want to devote that much time.
It's also, like, the story demo was just fanfic-y. It was just, like, weirdly written. So it's like, I am still excited about this. I'm sure Destin probably is as well. It's like if the people who are getting angry about this game are getting angry about the X-Men, it's like yes, I am mad about the lack of X-Men presence in this game, but I also am going to play it anyway. So it's like an anger for a thing that you love,
right?
I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same way we get
angry
about
Halo. The reason I was hesitant about that is because I heard a rumor from someone in the fighting game community that they had been told that X-Men characters were coming as DLC.
Yeah.
Didn't hear this from anyone official, but like that's I was like, has that been announced or is that just a thing that I heard? But that's what I heard. So it's like, I think that if that ends up happening, it's kind of
even
worse.
More. Yeah. Being charged extra.
It's like you have to pay to get Wolverine characters. And it's like that will be terrible. Like, I'm very interested to see if that happens.
And it's also just such a obviously the full roster isn't out, but they showed what the character select screen is going to look like, and the roster is so much smaller compared to Marvel's Capcom 2 or Ultimate and MVC 3.
Yeah.
And obviously bigger.
I mean, even MVC was pretty big. Like, obviously Ultimate was bigger, but even then, like, it did look bigger than the way this does. And it's the thing is, I don't think this is Capcom's fault. I think that it's a Marvel legal issue.
Well, but at the end of the day, the buck stops with Capcom.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a Marvel legal issue. The amount of characters isn't Capcom's fault.
No, that's true.
Capcom's fault. But no, this one in particular,
you know?
Chun-Li's face is really dumb in this game.
Yeah.
So this is what Chun-Li's face used to look like. And what it looks like now, she just looks really confused and dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
So, and I feel like Ono especially is like, hey, this is a character that is beloved to me. We are going to, you know, take the time to get this right because, these things in an age of streaming and screenshot sharing, like if you have sort of a technical wrinkle in the way some of your characters look, like
people are going to make YouTube
Mass Effect
videos.
Assassin's Creed, like those will go viral.
Yeah. I think there's probably at some point going to be a really interesting story about the development of this game. I'm still excited for it.
Yeah,
so am I.
And I suppose I would have to imagine too. So everything you guys just told me is totally helps me understand this situation. I have to imagine the really long wait between MVC3 yeah. in this one probably doesn't help the situation either. Yeah. Like, fans have been waiting for a long time for this game.
I mean, I was even annoyed with when Ultimate came out. Like, it was a, I think I, it was a better game, but it was annoying because it's like MVC3, MVC3 Ultimate. I think they were just a year apart. Maybe it was a year and a half. But even then, it was like Capcom just kept at that period of time, especially doing this thing where they would release something and then release the same game with slightly more content a year later. And it's like, why aren't you working on another Marvel vs. Capcom instead of giving me the same game to pay full price for again?
Yeah.
And they just like that.
That's in Street
Fighter. I was about to say, like, we had to deal with that on the Super Nintendo. Oh, I'm sorry, we're going to Nintendo again. Been, but like,
I lived through that.
There's been times where it happened in a positive way, which is with Dragon's Dogma, and then Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen came out a year later. Dark Arisen is so good that I was like, I'm okay with this, but it's still like this weird thing where it's like, stop trying to make me pay for the same game twice.
I have three different copies of Street Fighter 2 for Super Nintendo. Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and Super Street Fighter 2. Oh yeah, Championship Edition.
That was the first.
Yeah, the first. The first
iteration. Yeah. Yes.
And the final one is Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Arcade Hyper Fighting. You got to add that onto the. There were. It kept going.
It's so insane.
Monsters.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, the debut of Dragon Ball FighterZ.
I was going to say that.
A bunch of people jumped on that because that game looks gorgeous and it's 2D hand drawn. All of it looks incredible. And then even at.
Wait, why are they jumping on it then?
No, jumping on it in a positive way. People are like, this is what we want. Right. Like, this is the fighting game we want. And then also the announcement at Evo of
also,
that.
Also, Injustice is really good.
Yeah, Injustice is really good. But then also with 2D fighters, there's that Persona 4 Arena cross Ruby cross BlazBlue game that was announced.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and so it's like all these properties that people love in this fighting game that everyone's stoked for because it's like the core engine of these games they love.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Huh.
Mm-hmm. All right.
When was the last BlazBlue game? That would have been a while ago, right?
Two or three years
ago.
Yeah, they've been.
I guess they just don't have a huge marketing budget.
Yeah.
But you talk about a dedicated little community. I know that series has
absolutely
some serious diehard fans. Because I get press release emails from PR about something going on in the BlazBlue world all the time.
Before we move on from fighting games, I just wanted to say, because I've been traveling so much lately, I've been playing weird games. Like, I've been jumping into things for a small amount of time and then jumping out. And the one that I'm playing through right now is Injustice 2. Destin's not here, but the campaign is really good. I like it a lot.
I'm really glad to hear that.
It's well written. One of my favorite parts so far is you fight against Scarecrow, and at a certain point he actually releases Scarecrow gas, so everything changes in the environment, and nice. He looks like terrifying. That. It's really good. I like it a lot.
That's great. Well, speaking of Injustice 2 and fighting games, the top 10, a friend PD, top 10 games for the month of June was released just the other day. Number one, Tekken 7, topping the charts for June, followed by Injustice 2 in the number two slot. Number three, I'll give you one guess. You don't even need that guess. It's Grand Theft Auto 5.
I would have guessed Minecraft, but
no Minecraft on this one.
Grand Theft Auto 5, man.
GTA 5, and then Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, which was the remake for PS4. ARMS for Switch at number five. Breath of the Wild at number six. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe finishing up the Nintendo section there. Yeah. Overwatch at eight. NBA 2K17 rolling right along at number nine, and Horizon Zero Dawn with some nice legs there.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that just female protagonist.
Nice legs, that's, Aloy.
That's turned
into hey, maybe he thought that the dino had nice legs, like nice little robot steps.
Yeah, they do have nice
that.
Legs.
Yeah, they got good gams.
I'm gonna get roasted for that one, even though it was
amazing.
I should just resign now because the backlash that went my way after that one.
Hey, but maybe in a couple months, ARMS will be at number 10. You could say ARMS has good legs.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be much better.
It'd be better.
Yeah.
Anyway, Horizon Zero Dawn, the number 10 selling game of June. Two fighting games topping the charts. I don't know if that's ever happened.
Yeah, that's really weird. I mean, it's two fighting games in wildly, massively popular series.
Yes.
Yeah. And then GTA 5 has got to have so many people must own that game at this point.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you guys think? Like, what do you guys think the attach rate is for Grand Theft Auto 5 on PS4 and Xbox One? So I'm removing entirely the tens of millions of copies that it sold for 360 and PS3. But just since, you remember, it was November of 2014, so 1 year into these two consoles, GTA 5 came out with, of course, the first person mode and all kinds of cool stuff. Doesn't have to be like about a 50% attack.
That's what like
for both consoles right now.
I mean, I own
like one out of every two consoles.
Yeah,
yeah. I
if you come around the office, the majority of us own it. Yeah,
because it just continues. It's it. I don't know if it's been out of the top 10 since it came out.
One of the things with GTA 5 is I play that game all the time, or I get a desire to play that game all the time, to the extent that it's one of the few that I will not like remove.
Oh, yeah, you want to, that's like, 50, 60 gigs
it's
that are
huge
just
and
locked
it takes
in
forever
on your
to install. Yeah. It's like, it's insane, but it's I revisit it so much. Like, it's such a good game that I feel like, I don't know. I don't know if I know anyone who doesn't even like it. Like,
it's,
did we give it a 10?
Yeah, we sure did. Yeah, so I think it's both, one of the,
all three versions.
Five or for sure 10 greatest video games ever made. I think it's that good.
It is really good. You should play it.
I should probably play it.
Yeah. You should really play it.
I should play it.
It's a very
Dang
good
it, Marty.
Game.
I respect it.
I'm
going to play it someday.
I feel like you don't even know what it is.
Okay. I understand what it is. I've played every other GTA game.
Yeah, but it's like, it's, I feel like it's deeper than the others.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
You're not going to play it.
Well, I'm playing Pyre. I'm very busy.
All right.
Religious basketball.
Passing out on that box spring on the floor.
All right. Yeah. First off, there's a box spring with a mattress on top. I'm not passing out. It's very nice. Many people have complimented on it.
Have they?
They're like, hey, yeah, and I have a very nice duvet, several pillows.
Wow.
Multiple pillows. I have a throw.
How many pillows do you have?
I got like 8.
Oh, wow. That is a lot of pillows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I got 6.
Yeah. That's a lot of pillows, too. That's,
well, apparently having pillows, the amount of pillows that you have is supposed to be related to depression.
What? Oh, no.
This is an actual study. It was probably on BuzzFeed or something terrible, but it was just like, oh, you know, I got a lot of pillows.
I like feeling
like I'm in a pillow fort.
Yeah.
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 You're Cleopatra in that bed.
Sure.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like pretending that there's someone next to me
feeding you grapes.
Grapes, the least racist fruit.
There you go. Grapes and Nazis, one and the same. Wait, anti-Nazis. Oh, no, grapes are anti-Nazis.
Antioxidants, anti-Nazis.
Classic grapes.
Sorry, Ryan. Let's go.
Anyway, The Sims 4 was announced for Xbox One, and when I saw this announcement, I did a swear. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah?
She did a cuss.
Okay, I play The Sims, when those games come out, for a month, hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, just that month, The Sims is my life. And then never touch it again until another one releases. And
you get a lot out of it in that month.
Yeah.
That's
Sims 12 is what, 2014?
Yeah, that's what I have written down here. That's this announcement kind of came out of nowhere just because these games are The Sims 4 originally released on PC 3 years ago.
I was concerned they wouldn't do it at all. But they're super fun on console. And the first one on original Xbox had this campaign mode that was like a story mode where you had to like move out of a house and like walk your way up into these other cooler houses and like get promotions. And it was super fun. You're like, I hope that it has that again. It also had a split screen co-op, which in The Sims ruled. It was just like diagonal split screen and you'd both control cusses and can play The Sims at the same time. Like, it was so much fun. You're like, I kind of hope that happens again. I have so many good memories of playing that with my sister. They rule. So
it's out November 17th.
Not happy about that. If it could come at any other point in time, that would be cool.
November 18th. Like next week?
Yeah, next week would be excellent. Yeah. That would be a great time to launch a Sims game.
Yeah.
But November, not so much, but, you know, maybe I'll just have to not buy it.
I mean, I remember when The Sims first came out, it exploded. Like, it became one of the biggest selling games of all time.
It's the first
in the beginning
game
on PC.
First video game I ever bought. Like, first really? One I bought myself.
And it was because it sort of broke through into the mainstream and not quote unquote non-gamers picked it up and would enjoy
it as
well.
All my sister plays anymore. It was like a weird fork in our lives where I kept playing video games and she stopped, but she still plays The Sims all the time. Like, loves it.
Yeah. I played a little bit of the original just to sort of, cause again, everybody, it was all the rage at the time. And I just remember making a house and then, I removed the door to the bathroom when my Sim went in there and just started to struggle and then peed himself and then eventually died.
Good stuff. Yeah.
And then I kind of was done playing The Sims.
You're like, all right,
I did what I wanted to do in this game.
There's a slippery slope here if I keep walking, so I'm just going to turn this off.
I play them in the interest of making amazing houses. So I feel like I play The Sims the exact same way that I play Minecraft. It's like getting a job or getting skills and earning money is the same as mining. And then I'm just trying to make a cool house. That's it. And then I make the cool house. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I did the thing. I'm going to walk away from this and not play it until it comes out on the Nintendo Switch in 2020.
I respect the heck out of The Sims, and I expect that it's come quite a long way into The Sims 4 from where I played it back on the first one. I was always more of a Sim City guy. I love Sim City. I've been playing that since like the whatever Mac black and white computer screen computers in the junior high science lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had the Sims, had like the original version of the Sims on it. And I would just hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hours with the
All Sims. All those Sim games are good. Sim Theme Park Sim was really good. Sim yeah. Golf. Sim yeah. Ant.
Sim Ant. Sim Earth.
Sim Earth. Sim Ant was where like, you're an ant. You have like an ant colony.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a
real
really?
Game. Real game.
That's cool. Huh.
When the whole Sim franchise was at its peak.
Oh, yeah, I guess. And then they had Spore.
Yeah, well, it's not.
We don't talk about that.
Yeah.
Will Wright doesn't even talk about that. I don't
think.
That
happened.
Sometimes Will Wright is well wrong.
I'll allow it. finally this week, Final Fantasy 15 came out, almost a year ago now,
yeah,
right?
Last November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's still going strong, and there is a multiplayer mode coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Comrades. There's going to be a beta test for that mode running next week, mm-hmm. August 3rd through the 8th. Comrades will allow players to create their own custom character, then join up to three other players and take on multiplayer quests. Players will be able to create multiple characters developed by completing quests and customized with new clothing and items at the game's outposts. Is this kind of like the Mass Effect 3's multiplayer?
A little bit, yeah.
Where it's sort of that horde-ish
Yeah, mode? Yeah, where it's like it's separate from the single player. It's not like there's four people running around and doing the actual single player stuff. Yeah. But this
no
is one
four
of those,
emo boys in the future
I would
limo, the future
love Regalia. Four emo boys to get in the Regalia. But no, this game is one of those examples like Destiny of a game that has just gotten increasingly better since launch.
Mm-hmm.
Like it launched and it was good with some problems, and then all of a sudden they fixed a bunch of the problems. They've added so many crazy things, like you can now just drive off road and you drive wherever you want.
Really?
Yeah, you can do all this crazy stuff.
Oh, that's so exciting.
They've added these really great suite of DLC that really dives into the past and present and future of the side characters of Prompto and Gladiolus and Ignis. And then this is a game that, you know, for the past year they've been championing and just making better and better, which I think is awesome. It's the same thing like Ubisoft does that a lot with like The Division or Rainbow Six Siege. And so I feel like this has been a generation where a lot of games have come out of the gate a little bit slow, but yeah. just over the course of time have become like just real bangers that everyone's
I mean,
play.
Even then I really liked Final Fantasy 15 when yeah. it came out. I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe I should stop playing it again. I don't have interest in playing it multiplayer
yeah.
because there's already so much content in the game, but if it's going to add things for... It's A, making me like, huh, I should play that again now yeah. that there's updates, and B, like, will potentially draw new players in, then good for them.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between what you guys were just saying and a lot of what you were saying earlier, we're almost at, like at this point where you could make a personal policy for yourself to not play a game for like the first 60 to 90 days. And then when you do play it,
better
all the dumb crap will have been fixed and other cool things will have just been added.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a thing. And I think it's kind of bad.
Yeah, it is.
We're in that position.
Yeah.
It's kind of totally bad for our jobs because it's like we have to judge what the game is right now.
Exactly.
Right, but it's also people buying something day one that is not really the completed package, which like Mass Effect was a perfect example of that. Like it's a really weird state that the industry is in.
Fortunately, does not apply yet to first party Nintendo games. They seem to still be totally good out of the box
that
of day
true.
One.
Yeah. No, that is a good point.
Yeah. But even Zelda's added some cool stuff since launch.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's DLC though. It's not like patches.
Sure.
It's different, but yeah. It's strange.
And yeah, you know, it's like there was a lot of frustration over Andromeda mm-hmm. for many reasons, but one of them being like they did address a lot of the problems, so a lot of the technical problems with the game. And a lot of people were like, man, I just pumped 70 hours into this. And now it's like,
yeah.
I slog through it if I had just waited.
I mean, Andromeda is like an extreme case where that game should have been delayed. Just
right.
No question.
But man, it's just like it's that fine line you want to walk because you want to be. You want to be part of that zeitgeist,
totally.
Part of that conversation when a game is shipping.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, are you playing the new this or the new that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, I'm waiting 90 days till it's, like,
okay,
it's
well,
done.
I mean, you'll have a better experience, but you won't have anyone to talk about it.
People even pre-order, you know, it's like that's something that people, because they've already spent the money, want to play it immediately. But it's you're totally right in that it'll be better if they wait. It's such a weird thing that is happening.
We're in a weird
it's
place.
So yeah. singular in a medium. It's not like, hey, don't buy this album the day it comes out because it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Don't watch
don't
this
see,
movie.
Don't see Dunkirk on day one because Nolan will fix the
weird audio mixing.
Yeah, that audio problem.
The dude from One Direction's face looks weird. So we're is that what he's from?
I don't know.
Harry Styles?
Yeah,
he's from One Direction. He's in that movie?
He has like two lines. No one speaks in that movie.
Wow, that's weird.
That's the Ed Sheeran, yeah. Game of Thrones cameo. The same
apparently,
British very, singers.
Apparently, he's very good in this movie.
Huh.
I want to see that movie so much.
Yeah, me too.
Everybody says it's so good.
Yeah. That's your Dunkirk hour.
There we go. We're covering everything but Xbox this week, which I know our fans adore so much. all right. Marketplace report. Alana Pierce, it's so good to have you back. What? I want to hear more of your voice. What can we spend our money on this week?
Retail, you can get Fortnite, which I think is pretty cool, actually.
They did it. They did it. It's real.
I won't have to see this at Judges Week again for the fifth year in a row. No, I kid. But yeah, this game, it's been in development for a long, long time. This is Epic's first big game since Gears 3, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
Done some VR stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, Robo Recall,
yeah.
which is extraordinarily well regarded.
Yeah.
They've been working on this for a long, long time.
People seem to really like it. Like, I like everything that I know of it and have seen of it. I haven't played it. I'm super curious.
Yeah, I played a little bit of it, and to me it kind of feels like, and I don't mean to disparage Minecraft in this with this statement at all, but it almost feels like the game that when you kind of grow out of Minecraft, like when you get a little older, you kind of can graduate into Fortnite. It's just, it's a little bit more, like there's more shooting and action, and it's sort of, you know, not just the crafting.
I heard that there aren't any chests, though. Like, someone was tweeting about not being able to store things, which seems insane, but I could be totally wrong. People lie on Twitter to me all the time, so.
Why did you point to me?
Because you lie to me all the time.
I don't know, Twitter. It's serial real
in
life.
In general, you probably lie to me on Twitter, let's be real. I feel like I could look up your tweets and be like, oh, that was a lie.
No, those are deleted. You're blocked.
Oh, dang. All right. Digitally, we have Canadian Football 2017.
There is a CFL game. This is so great.
What is this
with
game
those
like?
Goalposts at the front?
It's all
end
just
zones
Doug
to smash into. Yeah. And
what's Canadian football?
It's just very close to American football, but with some slight rule changes.
Like indoor and the goalposts?
No, nope, that's arena football.
Oh.
Which is also cool. And there was a video game back for the original Xbox and PS2 that EA made. And they only made one.
Canadian football is where you apologize every time you tackle someone.
Sorry.
That makes sense. That is $16. We have Grid Retro Enhanced for $12.
How many Ds are in Grid?
Grid.
Too many.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure Overdrive is $13. Unbox Newbie's Adventure is $22.50. Fable Fortune is $12. It's pretty exciting.
That's for you.
Yeah.
I made it for you.
I obviously follow the Fable page on Facebook, and they updated their profile picture to the Fable Fortune logo, but the start of the F and the end of the E are kind of cut off, and it's just every time I see them on my feed, I'm infuriated. Like, who did this?
Orchun?
Just keep the whole text in your profile picture.
Abel Orchun?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
People are so mad about it, too. Like, following
really?
That
Why?
Page, the comments are just, people are so angry that there isn't an actual Fable game.
Oh, well,
that's not.
They didn't release Legends, and it's just like, it's brutal.
But the developers of this are ex-Lionhead, and they tried, they probably wanted to make another Fable game, and Microsoft closed them instead.
It's absolutely not that fault. It's rough. Infinite Mini Golf is $15. Constructor is $40. Avon Colony is $30.
Constructor, I want to stop on that real quick. Those guys came in, the lead developer actually came in, and it's coming later to the Switch, so it's out for obviously Xbox One this week. It's apparently, I learned a little something about this. Apparently it's a little SimCity-ish. It's like a city management game, but more of at a micro level. Like, you're managing your population and workforce and trying to sort of manage the populace and keep them happy and productive and reproducing.
Cool.
It's a reboot of Constructor from like 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And I guess it was really big in Europe, but it just never really made it, never really broke into the US.
It's like World of Tanks in Russia.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I played it. The Switch version was cool because you get the touchscreen access, but
it's cool.
Seemed pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you like city management kind of stuff.
Fortnite Founders Edition is $60. Conga Master is $10. Nice. Eurofishing Urban Edition is $25. And the Gigantic Startup Bundle is
$25. Even know where to begin to unwrap that title.
What?
Eurofishing Urban Edition.
Well, you're fishing in urban Europe.
Urban Europe.
Why? Like, I don't know. Why do we need to specify what makes Eurofishing special compared to ocean fishing?
Or doing it like on the Rhine? Are you doing it like a weird like standing puddle in Prague?
There are accordions nearby.
and yeah, Urban Edition. So, so we're in or like on the roof of a skyscraper, and there's just like a little fountain there, and we're
classic fishing. Europeans. Yeah,
that sounds pretty. That sounds classy.
That's a weird one to me.
On the marketplace, Destiny 2 beta is right now.
No,
is
it's not. Didn't it end? Sorry, that's left over from last week. Yeah, it just ended.
Yeah, that's such a shame. It just seemed like such a bad idea for them to have that during San Diego Comic Con because barely anyone got to play it. Did you get to play it?
I ended up busy, but I got to play at the May gameplay thing. Yeah. So I can't.
Destin played enough for all of us.
That's true.
For full impressions. Go watch Fireteam Chat every Friday at 5.
Go.ign.com/Destiny2.
Yeah.
Someone brought their console to SDCC. I don't remember who it was. Someone brought it. It might have been Malkowitz did, so he could play Destiny 2. July Games with Gold. We have Grow Up from July 1st to 30th on Xbox One. Runbo from July 16th to August 15th on Xbox One. Kane and Lynch 2 Dog Days is over. Lego Pirates of the Caribbean, the video game, July 16th to 31 on Xbox 360 and Xbox One. August, we have Slime Rancher, August 1st to 31 on Xbox One, Trials Fusion, which I actually really liked.
Yes.
August 16th to September 15th on Xbox One, Bayonetta, also very good.
Mm-hmm.
August 1st to 15th on Xbox 360 and Xbox One, and Red Faction Armageddon, August 16th to 30th.
It's a really good lineup.
Probably on Xbox 360 and Xbox One.
Yeah, super that is strong really lineup.
I mean,
yeah.
Bayonetta and Trials Fusion in 1 month to me is like, woo-hoo.
I mean, Trials Fusion's the least awesome Trials game, but it's still real good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, calling it the least awesome is a weird choice of words. Yeah, I feel like it's like one of the most ridiculous.
I didn't want to call it bad. I just wanted to say
the least.
The other ones are better.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
It's still really good, especially for free.
Yeah. I remember the opening theme song is like, "Welcome to the future."
Yeah.
Man, machine, the future. I don't know why I know it so well. And you have this weird like Cortana lady who speaks to you throughout that game. Like whenever I play the Trials games, I try and this one with squirrels, try and collect all of the things, which means playing a lot of Trials in a small amount of time.
Those challenges get real tough.
Real
tough by the end.
Yeah, I've thrown controllers over Trials.
It can be a painful experience.
And then you watch reruns of someone doing like one of the harder levels and they just nail it. You're like, how did you do any of this?
Yeah.
God.
I don't know Slime Rancher, but on Twitter, people tell me it's good.
Okay. So that's a solid lineup.
First person I had some slimes.
I'm going to go with
that. I did some investigative journalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
I'll report back next week with some more details.
Thanks, Marty.
Obviously, also Bayonetta is awesome. And you should.
Bayonetta's great.
Yeah. Bayonetta.
Bayonetta.
It's about Wonder Woman.
Oh, nice. That's good.
There you go.
Good chat.
All right, let's hit the road. But before we do, unlocked block trivia. Your chance, Alana, to get back in the game. Also, Destin's not here, so Marty, real good chance to twist the knife on this one.
I also know the answer to this one.
Oh, no, Destin, did you hear that? Unlocked block trivia is, of course, our weekly Xbox trivia game where you guys write in with your trivia questions and I ask these kind panelists. Mm-hmm. Marty leads for the year with 11 points. Destin.
You overtook Destin while I was
away? Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, good job.
Thanks.
Destin's at 8 points. Yeah. So you got a pretty good cushion going here.
How many weeks was I away for? It's since before E3.
What year is it?
It's the year 2065.
Yeah, have you ever even been here since E3?
No.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And you're at 7 points, so you're still in it for despite your
shout out to
Disney
Phil
show absences. Yeah.
All right.
So here we go. It's this question comes from our friend Christopher Calendaropoulos, who made last year's trophy for trivia.
Nice.
Which Destin got, but looks like Marty's going to get this year's. Mm-hmm. He says, this is a good question. I happen to know this one as well, but I like this one. The Halo 2 soundtrack, which Alana was kind enough to. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's Halo 3.
You're right, it is. It's definitely Halo 3.
The Halo 2 soundtrack features an uncredited cameo from a popular musician who requested to be on the album purely for his love of Halo. The track
Halo
was...
Halo 2 the one that has Breaking Benjamin?
Yes.
Yeah. The track was called Epilogue, and who was the uncredited guest artist on the Halo 2 soundtrack? Was it John Mayer? Was it Chris Cornell? Was it Steve Vai? Or Eric Clapton?
I don't know. I feel like at some point I have known this, and that's why I'm angry. It's A or D, but I think it's A.
Going with A, Marty?
It is A.
It is. Yeah, I knew this one too. Yeah. It's John Mayer.
Yeah.
He's a big Halo fan, and he just went in and laid down a few. I read mm-hmm. about this years ago. Marty told the story, and yep. that's really cool. John Mayer just came mm-hmm. in and played a little bit on it.
Yeah.
Which means Destin falling behind. You've now caught Destin.
So suck it, Destin.
It's a tie for second place. Marty, though, with a four-point lead.
How did you do that? Did they ask a bunch of banjo questions?
I don't think they asked any banjo questions. I think I've just known the answer, like, I think three of the past 4 weeks.
Mm, lucky.
He's paying me off. He's bribing me.
Paying him off, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that
actually, I ran a John Mayer fan club. This is like Slumdog Millionaire, where I have a deep story into why I know each answer.
It's like what was the trivia question? It was a trivia question at one of your trivia nights was who wrote The Godfather,
yeah,
the original author, yeah, and yeah. I know the answer to that, A, because of a Childish Gambino song,
yeah.
but also B, because I had a neighbor who had one of those fighting fish, and they named it Mario Puzo.
So that was your Slumdog Millionaire moment.
That's how I know
that. Yeah, Chai Mumbai.
So bizarre. Slumdog Millionaire.
All right, there we go. Let's hit the road.
All right, let me leave. Let's hit the road.
Yeah, I mean, we're done. This is the end
Are
of the
you
episode.
Me now?
Yes.
Okay. It's the end of the episode.
That's fine. You're allowed to do that.
Thank you.
Go.ign.com/Destiny2. We're wrapping up our month-long Destiny 2 coverage. I'm speaking for Destin. He's actually really done a lot of hard work and delivered
yes,
a ton of
awesome
really one. Cool, all new, all exclusive Destiny 2 content. So get caught up there. You can follow me on Twitter at @DMC_Ryan. And that's pretty much all I have going on. Alana?
I am on all of the social networks as at Charlanazad, and yeah, basically my full-time job right now is the IGN show, which is on Disney XD at I think we're 9 p.m. now or 9:30 p.m. I don't know, but you can also check it out online every single morning because we publish online as well. So
nice. Yeah. You can find me at McBiggity, and then I have a big movie review next week. I don't think I can say what it is yet. Mm. I'm going to New York for it. So.
Duck Dynasty, the movie?
Yeah, Duck Dynasty. There are plans for Duck Dynasty and the mug.
Just like the Mass Effect trilogy, huh?
Duck Dynasty and the mug.
Let go.
I mean, that one I'd have to quit.
Yeah.
When I quit, though, that'll be it.
That's true.
Someday I'll leave.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
It's just how jobs work, right?
Yeah.
They have to fire me at some point.
They
have to fire me at some point.
You have to quit, I think. They'll like try and fire you.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Because of Mass Effect, I have to quit.
Also, you stop doing your job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shrug.
Eh.
What are you going to do?
We're here.
Mm-hmm.
We did our job. Yeah. We delivered the 306th edition of Unlocked.
Uh-huh.
Oh, also, if you're going to be at PAX at the end or at the beginning of September, Alana and I are going to be there. We have several panels.
Multiple.
Saturday night and then all through Sunday and then a bunch of off-site events as well that we're planning. So
yeah, that sounds super cool.
Yes. So if you're in Seattle at PAX, we're going to have a ton of stuff if you're at PAX and then some cool stuff even if you're not at PAX
mm-hmm.
just in Seattle.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you guys. And we shall return same bat time, same bat channel next week.
Bye.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.